The world is changing faster than ever. Keep up with the Enterprise Cloud from Workday. A single system to continuously plan for every what-if scenario. Workday, the finance, HR, and planning system for a changing world.
Here's your money briefing for Tuesday, December 1st. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. It's been a banner year for the stock market despite the pandemic, and with 2021 just a month away, individual investors could be in store for a hefty tax on those gains. But there are some key moves you can make now to keep some of that money in your pocket and not Uncle Sam's.
If your losses are bigger than your gains, you can deduct, in most cases, up to $3,000 each year against your wages and other ordinary income. That's why a lot of people go through their portfolio around this time of year and dump losers.
That's Wall Street Journal contributor Tom Herman. In a moment, he'll be here with a checklist of ways of reducing your coming tax bill. That's after the break.
To be a powerfully productive business, you need powerfully happy people. Two leaders in workforce management and HR have joined forces to become UKG, Ultimate Kronos Group. UKG creates comprehensive HR solutions designed to make employees happier and build more meaningful connections within your workforce. They've even done that for themselves, being recognized as one of the top places to work. And UKG's 12,000 employees help thousands of businesses build better cultures every day. When you're ready to make your people happier, UKG is ready to work for you. UKG, our purpose is people.
. 2021 is just a month away, and for many individual investors that means there'll be taxes to pay on the sharp gains they've made during this year's market rally. Wall Street Journal contributor Tom Herman is here with pointers for going through your portfolio and scoring some tax advantages. Tom, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure, JR.
So, you know, it's just about a month left in the year, but is that still enough time for people to make some adjustments to their investments, you know, to prepare for next year?
Sure, there is still plenty of time to take action to trim your taxes for this year, and also to avoid making some classic year-end tax blunders.
Well, let's talk about some of those blunders. Payouts from mutual funds, those are important for people to keep track of, but why do you think they're so easily overlooked?
This is one of the tax blunders that is very easy to make, even for sophisticated investors. This is also an especially timely issue this year because of the stock market's remarkable volatility so far this year. Here's some background. This is the time of year when many mutual funds typically distribute all or nearly all of their net realized capital gains to their investors. Now, if you get one of these payouts, it may seem at first glance like an unexpected bonanza, but in certain cases, this can pose a tax problem. If you are investing for a taxable account, you need to do some research. The basic advice is, if you're thinking about jumping into a stock market mutual fund between now and the end of the year, find out if the fund you're considering is planning a large year-end capital distribution. If so, ask how much and when, and look for what's called the record date to qualify for that payout. You should be able to find out most of these details on the website of most major mutual funds. Now, if the fund that you're about thinking of investing in right away is about to make a major payout, consider waiting until after the payout to qualify for the distribution. By waiting until afterwards, you would avoid getting hit by what might be a sizable tax unrealized capital gains that the fund had chalked up previously. There is a good website called Cap Gains Valet that has details on this subject as well as a lot of the details on payouts. If you're thinking about making a major investment in a mutual fund that's about to make a big payout, consider investing in that fund for a tax-advantaged account, such as an IRA or a 401k. Those investors typically do not have to worry about taxes on those payouts, so that's a very good option. And another option is consider investing in what's called tax-efficient funds. These are funds that typically focus on limiting capital gains distributions whenever possible by keeping their turnover low, and also harvesting losses to offset gains. This is a problem for mutual fund investors. It's not a problem when you're holding individual stocks. Although, again, a lot of investors hold their individual stocks in tax-advantaged accounts like IRAs and 401ks, because then, again, you don't worry about taxes typically.
Now, Tom, today is Giving Tuesday, and donating to charity is a way that taxpayers can definitely see a tax benefit. But how can people use the market run-up to their advantage and donate stock?
Donating stock can be an especially smart way for many people who itemize their deductions to contribute to their favorite charities. And this is another timely issue because of the stock market strength so far this year. But before you do, you got to pay attention to some of the fine print in the tax laws. So the general advice is consider donating stocks and other securities that you've held for more than 1 year and that you're holding in taxable accounts. Focus on stocks that you own that have risen sharply in value since you purchased them, and again, that you're holding in a taxable account. These are referred to by tax professionals as highly appreciated securities. There are some big benefits to that. First, you typically can deduct the full market value of the shares, assuming that you itemize. And number two, you don't get hit with capital gains taxes on the increased value of those shares. Otherwise, you would have to pay those if you sold the shares and donated the proceeds. One other piece of advice, again, it's a tax trap some people may fall into. Do not donate your losers. If you have a stock that's gone down in value, don't donate that to charity. Instead, consider selling it, especially if you're going to anyway, and donate the proceeds to charity. When you sell it, you can nail down valuable capital losses that can be used to reduce your taxes.
So why is it important for people to donate assets they've had for more than a year?
That's a very important issue. If you're donating stocks to charity, focus on those that you've owned for more than a year and that have increased sharply in value. That holding period is very important. If you give away highly appreciated stock you've owned for 1 year or less, that's considered short term. In those cases, you generally can deduct only your cost basis. That means what you paid for tax purposes. In those cases, you would not be able to deduct the full market value. So pay close attention to the holding period of stocks you're thinking about giving to charity.
Now, we hear some financial professionals talk about harvesting losses. Why is that a smart tax move?
That's a very popular technique, especially around this time of year. Take a look at your portfolio. Take a look at stocks that you've got that are worth less than you paid for them and consider selling them, especially if you were going to sell them anyway. If you sell them, you can use those losses for tax purposes. A capital loss can be used to absorb your capital gains on a dollar for dollar basis. And if your losses are bigger than your gains, you can deduct in most cases up to $3,000 each year against your wages and other ordinary income. That's why a lot of people go through their portfolio around this time of year and dump losers. It's, as you said, it's called harvesting their losses to offset their gains or use that $3,000 gain against ordinary income. It's $1,500 if you're married and filing separately, but in most cases it's $3,000, and that's a very valuable tactic.
And something else that people could consider when they're thinking about donating is a donor-advised fund. What exactly is that?
Donor-advised funds are a very popular and very simple way to donate to charity. In a typical case, you donate cash, stock, or other assets to the fund. You get a federal income tax deduction immediately for that year, assuming that you itemize your deductions. Then you can advise the fund to dole out your gifts to your favorite qualified charities either now or in the future. You don't have to decide now. Meanwhile, the money can grow tax-free.
Is there usually any sort of a minimum amount to put into it, or how much can that fund hold?
Many funds have no required minimum accounts. It's another big advantage. But one other caution on these funds. There is a special rule this year where contributions to donor-advised funds don't work. This year, for 2020, there is a special new deduction of as much as $300 for taxpayers who make cash contributions like checks to charities and who claim the standard deduction for this year. Donor-advised funds are not part of that. They don't count for that. So if you're giving cash, just the cash is better if you're taking the standard deduction. But donor-advised funds are enormously popular for a large number of investors.
Finally, Tom, I want to ask you about tax filing status. What effect can that have on a couple's taxes?
Your tax filing status can have a surprisingly large impact on how much you owe in taxes. There is something called the marriage penalty and the marriage bonus. In some cases, two people, who each of whom have a separate income, who are single and who get married, wind up paying more in taxes than they otherwise would if they'd remained single. That's called the marriage penalty tax. And that's why I know at least one couple postponing the official ceremony until next year it can save them a large amount of tax. Now, in other cases where you have couples where only one earns income, they may actually have a marriage bonus, that is, getting married, can actually cut their tax. So you need to crunch the numbers or ask your tax advisors to take a look at what your tax would be. Depending upon your filing status, it can be surprisingly large. I've been writing about this for many years. It seems like a simple problem, but tax experts say it's very hard to fix this problem.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal contributor Tom Herman. Tom, thanks for coming on the show.
My pleasure, J.R.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.